We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are live. Welcome to the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast, sponsored by Yahoo. Here back for week 7. My name is Chris Kirkwood. I am your host, screen name Kirk Dees, with my boy co-host Brian Jester, the head honcho of Occupy Fantasy. What's going on this week, my man? How you doing,
bro? You and I were talking all week how rough week 6 was. I told you I've never had a slate where I was literally winning for 99.9% of the slate until the final play. It was last week was tough, I'll say that.
Yeah, let's get into last week, shall we? Just completely absurd. Absolutely absurd. So I was tilted. So first of all, I would have bet like $100,000 on my lineup winning last week. Like, I was so confident. So basically all these optimal fish out there, like if you saw the lineup, it was the same one. They all played it. It was it had Devontae Booker for the running back play. And I was like, first of all, the Giants are going to get smoked. This guy's inefficient. This line is terrible. And it's like, and I'm looking in like that range, like that, you know, Jonathan Taylor just like stood out to me as like, you know, they're playing the Texans. This guy is like as good as it gets. He's $23. I can make this work. I didn't really like, and it had Devontae Adams, and I didn't really like the price on Adams last week or the situation and matchup. And I was like, that was a little bit scary, like having to fade a huge game for him, but I honestly didn't think he was going to have a big game, and he didn't. And I was tilted at halftime with like, I think Taylor had like 2 rushing carries or something. And it was like, I was like, what the hell is going on? But then, you know, they fed him and he did what he does. So I was like out front cruising, you know, absolutely cruising. And I was like, I told my girl, cause I was like, what the hell happened? Like, I literally like was so mad watching that Patriots game. Like that should have been over about 5 different times. And it just broke out into the craziest shootout, went into overtime. And, you know, everybody's last play there was CeeDee Lamb, who I didn't have. I did like him, but it wasn't like that stand out of a play to me. I couldn't quite afford them with my build, but you know, and I got like floor games from Terry McLaurin, who I liked. You know, that was kind of like the pivot off of Devontae in order to allow me to get Taylor. Anyway, we saw what happened. CD breaks the freaking slate, like in with just absurd way. They had to get overtime. They had to hit 2-point conversions. They had to be able to, you know, throw an 80-yard pass to Kendrick Bourne to get in there. And it was just like so absurd. And they kept feeding CeeDee Lamb. They couldn't. And then that touchdown at the end. So like, I went from like crushing to like losing a tiny bit. Like, and I was just like, what the hell happened? You know, like, and it was so nuts.
Just got hit by a truck, like out of nowhere. Right. Like it was, and this was all sites for me too. And it was, not as bad as the week before with the Cleveland Chargers game going on
with Tyreek Hill. I say it's even worse. Like, you know, like, cause at least Tyreek, we know too. That with Tyreek, like, you right. know, like an 80, like at any play, an 80-yard touchdown could break out. So you're like always sweating a little bit,
But I know. Believe me. Basically, all of my content this week, all the videos and podcasts I've done this week has been just tilting about week six and just trying to get it out there in the open so we can all collectively move on to week seven because, it was a tough time. So I think it's time to look ahead and let's try to turn this around.
Yeah, I mean, I could go on for another freaking 30 minutes and start pulling up players that I play against and all that, whatever. All right. Anyway, so we're on to week seven, forward thinking show. First of all, we gotta do a little housekeeping here for Yahoo. Yahoo is the place to play this season. Absolutely. If you're not playing there, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably playing there by now, or else I don't know what's stopping you. But if you haven't joined with Grinders 25, promo code, they'll hook you up. And then, what's been great is they've been doing tons of overlay contests, the $1 million baller. It's up to $20 this week again. But, if you click on the actual contest and just look at the management fee, that's the rake, negative 17.6% built in. Like that's built in, even if it fills. So it's just free money. It's the best contest. It's great structure, 100K to first. They're doing the live final. They're giving you the live final seat there with it. Anyways, you guys should be playing there. Plus, there's plenty of overlay to be had if you just look there every week. So come on, there's a lot of people. I keep seeing new names, some familiar names that are coming. Everybody, just come over and play there. Play with us. How's your bankroll challenge going?
It's pretty rough now. So we were up to a year-long high before last week. That was basically chopped in half this week with everything going as poorly as it did. So a little setback, but I'm here to grind. So
we're ready for week lucky number seven. So this is our week, man. This is okay. So let's talk about the slate. So the slate's 10 games, a lot of teams on buys. Stood out is there's two games with 50 point totals. One of them is a 57.5 point total. So that's the Chiefs Titans. That's going to be the juiciest spot. Then there's the Lions Rams for 50. And so you could say like those are the games, but then, however, if you look, take it a step further, if you just look at team totals, we do have five teams with pretty massive team totals. We got the Chiefs with a 31 point team total. We got the Packers just a tick under 30 from a team total perspective. Rams at 33, they're massive favorites in a revenge game. Both sides, Lions and the Rams. So you get Stafford revenge, you get Goff revenge. Should be interesting. Bucks with a 30 point total, Arizona Cardinals with a 32.5 point team total. So if you just focus from the team total perspective, there should be a lot of plays, but we don't know how close all these games are going to be. But I'm not one to usually put a ton of weight in on with big screen. If I like a play, I'm going to play it. Regardless. So I think there's a lot of opportunity this week. The pace up games, at least from the Blitz, RG, Derek Carty's projections, he's got the Eagles Raiders with the most plays, then followed up by the Falcons Dolphins game and then the Lions Rams. I don't know if that with some other content from other guys that I respect in the industry, they also listed those games as pace up spots. So those are three games from the pace up spot to target. Then you compare that with the Chiefs Titans, which is just massive plays, but all priced up plays pretty much. Mahomes extremely expensive, Derrick Henry extremely expensive. So it's interesting how we'll talk about how to play that game. But yeah, that's the slate, man. And just when we were talking pre-show, just what stood out to me is I don't feel really comfortable with anything yet at this moment. I haven't found that happy place that I, got to on Saturday going into Sunday last week where I was like, my lineup is going to crush. I don't feel like that yet. So let's figure it out together on the show. But is that kind of what you're thinking as well?
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's always tough. One, we got all these teams on bye this week and all the good plays are basically off the board. Then two, we have three games with total or with spreads above 12 or 14. So just three massive favorites. And that's always tough in general to deal with, at least for me, right? Because from a tournament perspective, I'm always looking to bring it back on the other side. And if three of the best teams on the slate are playing against three teams with the worst team totals, it makes it really tough. And we see a lot of more casual lineups get there with 2-0 stacks and 3-0 stacks. And then if you drop down to the main lineup this week, there's just not a ton of clear Yahoo value. And the ones that are, you have to take a leap of faith in some spots. So it's definitely tough, but I'm happy to walk through it and figure it out together.
Yep. So we'll do our best to identify what the chalk's going to be and who we like. I kind of put a focus on my main lineup, but you know, I'll be max entering the ball or two as well. I haven't had a big week yet. I had a couple of decent lineups last week, but nothing great.
It's coming.
It's coming. It's got to come. And plus I'm always like getting in a time jam right before lock. Like I'm always screwing something.
It's your go-to move, man. Yeah, I feel like you'd learn at this point. But still.
I know. I don't. It's, and I always leave it to like, even though I know I just get bogged down doing something else. So this is the week where it all comes together. All right, look, we're going to do quarterback top values followed by our main preferred plays. We're going to do that for each position, QB, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. We'll give some stacks along the way, ideas along the way. So starting off at the quarterback position, I wrote down for top values I wrote down Derek Carr, actually. And he's $25. Now that doesn't give me the warm and fuzzies, but he did have a big week last week, 341 yards with his first game without Gruden, plus two TDs. They were playing faster. Which was kind of crazy to me. He's second in the league in passing yards. He has a much higher ADOT this season. So the play makes sense. It's just, we don't get that. He doesn't fit the mold really with the rushing upside. Although I remember when he was rushing, he had a couple of rushing. It's possible that he could do a rushing touchdown, but I wouldn't put much stock into it. But that's the first guy I wrote down. The other guy I wrote down, which I definitely don't feel comfortable with at this point, would be Matt Ryan, just because of a price play at 25. There are like other guys from a projection standpoint that are kind of popping. Let me pull it up here. It was, Mac Jones. No, thank you. I mean, he's looking better and better, but he just doesn't bring any rushing upside. Belichick loves to run the ball. This is a matchup where they should have the upper hand in against the Jets. So I think this will be a running back led game for the most part. And then there's Jared Goff and the revenge. Now, I will play some in the baller for sure of Jared Goff because you never know. Massive underdog in this game. You know, he's probably more likely to throw more picks than touchdowns. That's what I wrote down for the value plays to start. But back to Matt Ryan. Last two games have been decent. He did two games ago against Washington. You know, he threw four TDs, 29 fantasy points. He does get Ridley and Russell Gage back this week. So that's an uptick. Miami's defense is banged up. They don't have Xavier Howard. They don't have Byron Jones. They're 26th DVOA versus the pass. They're 24th in DVP versus the quarterback. So they're giving up a lot of fantasy points to quarterbacks each and every week. They're 29th in DVP versus the wide receiver. So that, you know, I do like a Ridley Ryan pairing, but that's all I got.
I had those same guys circled, right? Derek Carr, Matt Ryan is the two, I guess, the best values. But, you know, like you mentioned, they're both just like statuesque pocket passers. And as we talk about every week, we at least want our quarterback to have some sort of rushing upside just to insulate us a little bit from a poor passing performance. Like, you know, the reason we play Jalen Hurts, even though by halftime every week, we always play the game, well, how's Jalen Hurts going to get the 25 points this time? And he always does because of his rushing, and he's able to get there because it gives you a backup plan in a case that the passing game goes south. And we won't have that with Derek Carr. We won't have it with Matt Ryan. But the nice thing that stands out to me on this week that we know is tough is that both of those guys are in those games that you mentioned as pace up spots. They should be in competitive games, and the totals aren't bad, 48, 49 points. So I think if you do drop down to the values, those are the two guys to target. And then for your main lineup, if you're not playing one of those two, I think I would personally be more comfortable with Derek Carr in that spot. But if you're paying up a little bit, Stafford is only $6 more, right? 30, 31 bucks as a big favorite. Just the question is, you know, will he have to pass much in this game?
Yep. So that's the main preferred play that are coming up. I actually wrote down first Patrick Mahomes. We'll get to him in a second, but I had Stafford number two. Stafford is the projection play. He's going to be very popular because he's only $31. They have the massive team total. The Rams do have 33 point team total. You get the little revenge narrative. And the defense is just so terrible that he's up against in Detroit, 25th DVOA. Let me pull that up. I wrote something down wrong. Not that it's a big deal anyway, but let me pull it up here.
But yeah, like while you're pulling that up, so Stafford, you know, again on this big team total, and that's the big question is him, Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, will they have to pass much? At least the nice thing about Tom Brady, for if we're talking about these quarterbacks in these big situations, they've shown that they'll pass no matter what the score of the game is. You know, I don't know if the same can be said for Stafford and the Rams and Kyler and the Cardinals.
Yeah, so that's what I was getting to. So they're 25th DVOA versus the pass, which is good, but they're also 32nd DVP versus the run, 26th DVOA versus the run. So this very easily could be a Henderson game. I mean, this is typically what you want for a Henderson game, right? Like, so Henderson's usage is just he's running away. As long as he's healthy, he's getting fed, right? And then you look and they're 16-point home favorite against a bad defense. So this is a spot. This is a spot where he should absolutely go off Henderson. And if Henderson's going, I mean, only how often are Henderson and Stafford both going off together in the same game? Not very often. Henderson could get some passing game work. So, I mean, I guess that's possible, but I could see this play being more hyped up and everybody just jumping on, you know, because of the narrative here with the revenge. And maybe I'll just choose to make my spot with Henderson and play somebody different. And, you know, getting up to Mahomes would be the guy for me. I mean, this is the game, right? 57.5 point total. And like, he's not going to be the chalk. Titans 27th in DVOA versus the pass, 27th DVP versus QB, 31st DVP versus wide receiver. So like passing game rocket emoji for Kansas City. And this Kansas City offense is still great. Like, even though they're not winning every week, their offense, most points per drive, and that's with 9 turnovers inside the opponent's 40 yard line. So they've made uncharacteristic turnovers that have cost them and cost fantasy points for Mahomes, but that's going to regress and that's going to come back to normal. This offense is going to be efficient, like always, leads the NFL in touchdown passes plus all QBs and fantasy points. So I want to try to get to Mahomes is what I'm saying.
I think it's fair. I mean, the game total is so much higher than other games on the board. His ceiling is so much higher than most of the quarterbacks here. And when we don't have a rushing value quarterback that we feel comfortable with, I think the play is to go up there. And yeah, we don't have, as we get to these other positions, we don't have the crushing values like we normally do or clear mispricings, but there's enough value to get there, right? And if that safety and that upside of Mahomes is enough to offset that, then I think it's worth playing. So Mahomes, I agree with you. I have him written down too. And if you can make it work, he's definitely a great main lineup play, just because, like you said, most people are going to play Stafford, or if they're super projections heavy, they'll play those value guys.
And then, I mean, I got to mention the other guys from here. Kyler Murray, you know, so the interesting thing with Kyler is the price is still high. He did have a good game last week against Cleveland, but he's not running, right? So he's been having the shoulder issue. And the last year he went through a stretch where he didn't run as much and they blamed it on the shoulder issue. And it seems like we're going through that now. And also because, you know, he didn't really have to last week against Cleveland, but you know, he threw 4 passing touchdowns and, you know, you can usually count on him for a rushing touchdown. You haven't been able to the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks actually. But if he is getting healthy, he's not on the injury report or anything like that, then I think, you know, maybe this is the week when he gets back to rushing a little bit. And, you know, this is just a cupcake matchup against the Texans. So a big game is certainly there for him. Lamar, 38. Man, it was tilting with Lamar. Just lucky that, like, everybody else played Lamar too. So it was, like, didn't really matter, at least for, like, a main lineup perspective.
Dude, but, man, every dusty running back scored.
Every single one. Devontae, just watching Devontae Freeman just go off. And
Le'Veon scored.
I forgot about that one. Absolutely, all three of them. Man, just ridiculous. it's just not what you're counting on when you put Lamar in your lineup. And then their defense played so well, and they just didn't really have a threat with the Chargers, that that game just didn't go as planned. But this is a good bounce back spot. Might be a little slower from a play volume perspective, but Cincinnati is a defense certainly that he can exploit. I'm not worried about anything. So he's got to be in play. Tom Brady's got to be in play at $34 with his 30-point team total there. And then and Jalen Hurts. So like I'm like tempted because I tell you, I think a leak of mine is playing too many players in my builds for max entry. I'm tempted to just that be my entire QB pool. Carr, Ryan, Mahomes, Stafford, Murray, Brady, Lamar, Hurts, and then maybe Aaron Rodgers, and then just call it a day and not mess around with any of these other cheaper plays that will probably end up going off and cost me. But
I mean, I think it's fair though, right? Because like the main decision you have to make this week, if you're making multiple lineups, is do you include the blowout games and the blowout quarterbacks in your player pool? And I think for smaller contests, and in fact, if, you know, I'm trying to three max the smaller contests every week, yeah, I may include the favorite quarterbacks and those blowout games in my stacks. And for me personally, again, this is my personal strategy for 150 max in NFL. I try to have six quarterbacks that I focus on. And that really allows me to get all the different combinations. If one of those quarterbacks go off, I get enough combinations in my lineups to get near the top of the leaderboard. And so the decision there is, do I include those guys there, or do I focus on those higher paced, lower total games, Jalen Hurts, Derek Carr, Matt Ryan, Tua, those types of guys? I think for the baller and other 150 max contests that are really large, I think I'm leaning towards those closer matchups, but it's a decision to be made this week.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Interesting. So that's what I got. You got any other like guys that stand out to you, or anybody like
Tannehill? Do we want to play Tannehill in that high total game?
I mean, we probably should, right? Like everyone's expecting Derrick Henry, but like, I mean, man, Henry is just a beast.
Thinking maybe one day the variance in the touchdowns will go through the passing game to the run game. It just literally never happened. So I mean, again, you assume if they're trailing in a high total game that they have to pass more, which should bode well for Tannehill, but we've seen this play out time and time again.
I faded Henry on the single game. And then he just that he looked so fast and like so huge and strong when he got in that first touchdown that he broke.
Those are the type of slates, you know, you can just turn it off after the first quarter, though, right?
I think, like, I was still hanging in there, though, because I had, like, Diggs, and, like, Diggs got a touch. So I was hanging around, but I don't even know. I think I maybe even won money, but I don't remember. Too busy with NBA now. it's just crazy. My brain is jumbled. But, all right, let's bring it over to running back. This is where it gets kind of gross to me. So I wrote down for the values. I wrote down Josh Jacobs. And he's $19, right? This is a guy who's talented, who hasn't been very efficient this season, but the talent is there for sure. Philly is definitely worse this year against the run. The interesting thing is he does have TDs in each of his last two games. He's tied for third in rushing touchdowns. He's only played four games. Well, it's because not many people have had a lot of rushing touchdowns, but Eagles 25th rush DVOA, 27th in DVP to running backs. But Kenyon Drake, who they spent a lot of money on, you know, finally, you know, with Gruden out in last game, started to look good and got some work last week. So he's coming on. That's a concern. He's been under 90 yards in his last 10 games, under 90 yards rushing for Josh Jacobs. So yeah, it's not a home run spot by any means. Now he's a guy that could find the end zone a couple times in a game. It wouldn't shock me at all. And he's talented. So, and the matchup is good. And it's a game that we've already said we liked. The next guy I wrote down, Devontae Booker, who I thought was just
not favorite play. Absolute favorite play.
Yeah. Just not, oh man, never mind. I don't know how these people clicked on him last week, but anyway, four targets last week, I guess, is the one thing I can say that's a positive. He's been very inefficient, and the matchup is bad again for him. Panthers are the top ranked in a DVP for running backs, so they've given up the least fantasy points per game to running backs. And this is a Giants offense that's pretty shaky, you know, because they've been battered with injuries. So I guess you got to take a leap of faith. I mean, the volume will be there for him. It's just a tough matchup. It is a low spread, you know, Carolina is -3. So we'll talk about that in a minute, but I think an interesting leverage play is Hubbard on the other side. If Booker's going to be popular. And then the other guy I wrote down was Daryl Williams. This is he's getting more work. So he had 59 snaps last week, which is 10 more than CEH was getting. So he's kind of taken his role plus CEH's role, you know, now that he's the guy, CEH has been out. This is, you know, he's a running back on a team with a over 30 point team total in a good matchup. So he did have 24 touches last week, 2 touchdowns. You know, I'm more inclined to play the passing game for the Chiefs this week, but, you know, I can't deny that at $18 that Williams seems like a pretty good play.
Yeah. So again, like if you just list those guys, Chuba Hubbard, Daryl Williams, Devontae Booker, it just shows how gross this week is, right? Those are the running backs we're considering playing as values. Oh, and Josh Jacobs too, all have their warts, but again, we need the value somewhere. And those guys are guaranteed volume for the most part. The other guy I did write down, and I do like all those plays that you mentioned. I think they're all in contention. The other one I wrote down is the ultimate leap of faith play is Miles Sanders, who over the last 2 weeks has actually taken over the backfield. Kenneth Gainwell down to just 17% of the snaps against Tampa Bay. And there has been some talk about needing to run the ball more and getting him more touches after he went for 50, 60 yards on a couple carries against Tampa Bay. So again, it's another game that we like, and I always lean towards, if there's a game, a shootout environment that we like, lean towards the players in that game if I'm breaking a tie. And Sanders fits the bill, but again, he's a guy that I'm not thrilled about clicking, but can save some value.
Yeah. So I get it. And he's getting some talk around, I've heard, and you know, from a talent, I mention him every week when no one's mentioning him, right? Like I've always wanted to play some Miles Sanders and it's burned me every week. But, you know, and last week was a tough match against Tampa Bay. He, you know, it's the problem is the volume is a concern, right? So is the talent there? Yes. So like, would it shock you if they have a more rush run heavy attack and like they, you know, follow the coach speak and they use this guy who's extremely talented? No, it's not going to shock me whatsoever. Problem is he's gotten 9 attempts last week, 11 the week before, 7 and 2 the 2 prior weeks before that. So there's definitely a low floor here.
Absolute workhorse.
Yeah. Yes. But he should be an absolute workhorse.
Agreed.
But then you got, you know, with Jalen Hurts, his rushing is obviously eating into that for sure too. So yeah, like you said, there's warts with all these guys. I think that's a really strong, GPP play for the baller for sure. My main lineup, he won't make it. I'll say that now. I'm pretty sure. Another guy I'm looking at though, Damian Harris, another leap of faith, right? Because Ramondre Stevenson looked pretty good and is coming on and people want him, you know, he's got a lot of buzz behind him, but Harris is still the lead workhorse. If he doesn't fumble, and like, you know, he went for 18 attempts for 101 yards last week with a rushing touchdown. You know, he doesn't get much passing work. I think, you know, the fumbles and his pass blocking has played into some of that, but this is the Jets, a match from the Jets. This is a game that New England could lean on him pretty heavily. And I think that he's running out of favor. So I think that makes some sense for GPPs too.
Yeah, I like him too. And, you know, we keep naming all these guys that we like, we kind of like, that can fit in. And at least the ultimate question for your main lineup, can you or should you pay up for Henry? What are your thoughts?
I kind of want to. It's funny. Like I like want to build a lineup with the highest salary guy at each position. So it's like, I want Mahomes, right? Like I'm saying that I don't want to play Devontae Booker for $14. I've already saying that. So it's pretty tough. I want, when we get to wide receiver, we're going to talk about three, you know, it seems like you got to play one of these guys that are about $35 or $34 on the week. You know, there's three really, really strong plays there. So yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know what to do. I got to play around and see if I can make it work. I mean, he is a freaking beast, right? And he gets better as the season goes on every year. The Chiefs 31st in DVOA versus the run. He just everyone was like, Bills are a tough matchup for running backs. You know, they've stifled everybody. He busts out for 143 yards and three TDs, right? And just looked like an absolute beast. Is there going to be a game where he busts? Yes, there should be, right? Like, he's got to. But
play that,
you know,
clip that and just play it back every week of the season. Well, he's got a bust, right? He's never done.
He busted week one, but like since then,
that was his one time for the year. That's it.
Yeah, and then he had a subpar game, which was only because of he didn't get any rushing touchdowns against the Colts, but he did have over 100 yards in that game. But man, you know, we're looking at 157 yards against the Jets, 130 yards against the Jag, 143 yards against Buffalo. And just TDs all over the place. So I want to. I don't know if I can make it work. So my main preferred play, I'm going to write down, is Daryl Henderson. So, and he's $27. But, like, the work is there. As long as he's healthy, the work is definitely there. I mean, he out-snapped Sony Michel 54-12, out-touched him 23-9. He's running all the routes. Michelle's getting basically no routes. Right. And they're a 16-point favorite with a top five offensive line. And this guy's talented. I've always believed in his talent. And the Lions are giving up the most fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs. So, and people are going to play Stafford. So, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess it's in like my 10 man, I got to wrestle with that, like if I'd want to get down to Stafford and play Henderson with him. And just, I did that the week before with Daniel Jones and Saquon, and it worked out beautifully when both of them just went down. I mean, man, you couldn't play that any worse. But like the concept was there, is just getting all the touchdowns in a game where they're with a massive team total. But like I still keep going back to the fact that I want to try to make, like, I think the spot I'm going to take is going to be fading Stafford, playing Henderson, and trying to get up to Mahomes. But again, I haven't built, and I'm not there yet. But that's what I think. And then like Hubbard seemed like a strong play from a work and matchup standpoint. You know, Giants are awful against the run, 27th DVOA, 24th DVP, giving up big games to Zeke plus Henderson. The only worry there is Royce Freeman starting to eat into his passing game role a little bit. But I don't think that's a huge worry. And he's like at that price point, 22, where you can make him work. But again, the only plays I feel strongly about doing well are Henderson and Derrick Henry. And I realize that's pretty hard to get both of those guys in your lineup.
Yeah, you just fit in Mahomes, Daryl Henderson, yeah. Henry. Yeah. It's an easy week, right? The question is, right, can you fit in Henry? Do you have to play one or two of those value running backs? And, I don't think there's an easy answer this week. And, tournaments is a cop-out, but it's much easier this week because it's just so many low-floor guys. And there's some other tournament options that I like as well that I don't think a lot of people are going to play in. You know, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, Leonard Fournette, DeAndre Swift, like those types of guys that – should go way under the radar just because people are trying to jam in value and fit in some of these value plays.
Yeah, Aaron Jones, no one's going to play. $33, just hard. Oh, Leonard Fournette. He's clearly taking over this backfield, monster team total. Great game last week against the Eagles, 81 yards, two touchdowns, six targets. So, like, he's getting the targets from Brady. He's getting 22 attempts was massive. 2 weeks before that, he had 20 attempts against New England. So, I mean, the work is there for this guy, and he's been great. So, like, maybe Fournette is someone I should be, you know, considering more.
Yeah, because he's, I mean, again, like you said, the work is there, and he's, I say only, but only $25. But if you just look at the volume and take away the name and situation, like, he's probably one of the top per dollar volume plays. So why not play a guy who's on one of these 30 plus point team totals who's going to get the work? So I agree with that. Maybe we should consider him more for our main lineups.
What about James Conner? It's gross.
This is the ultimate tournament play the game script play, because you'd never really play him on a normal week, but the assumption is in the second half they're leading and they're running the ball more, and he gets, we know he gets the goal line work. So I dig it for tournaments. I don't think we can go there in our main. He's $23. I literally just noticed that. And I don't know if I can pay that price.
Yeah. I mean, it's gross, but like the concept is there, right? Like, it's just like Jonathan Taylor play, although Jonathan Taylor, much better player and with a better role, but this could be a game that they get, you know, take it, get out to an early lead and then just ride James Conner. And he finds himself with a couple of end zone carries, and and everyone else doesn't do so great. So it's gross, but I think he's definitely should be considered.
What about the ultimate regression play in Cordarrelle Patterson at the same price in a game? Yeah, man.
I know. I just can't do it, but maybe I should be. I just can't. The passing work has been there for him, and it's crazy, but you know, now that Russell Gage is back, now that
Ridley's back too.
Yeah, Ridley. Thank you. Sorry, my brain's all over the place. Now that those guys are back, I just can't pay $23 for Cordarrelle Patterson. But maybe I'm wrong.
We've been wrong all year on it. Maybe he'll continue to score a touchdown every three touches. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe I'll have a little of him in the baller, but that's it. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I think that rounds out the position pretty well.
All right, let's move it on over to wide receiver. Going with our theme, we've got some value plays here that don't make me feel very good. Jacoby Myers, number one at $13. I have back-to-back weeks where he almost found the end zone. He actually did find the end zone last week, and it was called back by a stupid penalty. Like, so it's just, this guy is just running so bad. The week before that, he was tackled at the 1 yard line. He's going to get a touchdown. He has a 25% target share. He's facing the Jets, who are 23rd in DVOA versus the pass. Mac Jones is improving. So there is a lot to like. There is regression that should be coming. I realize it's crazy, but like, if he scores a touchdown in each of those last two games at the price point he's been, we'd be extremely happy with his performance.
Yeah, man. Just copy and paste every week his name. I found this stat on Twitter the other day. Jacoby Myers in the history of the NFL has 500 more receiving yards than the next closest player who's never scored a touchdown.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
It's crazy. Devontae Smith, $14. So yep. you're getting the game that we like, right? We said we like this game, the Raiders and the Eagles. You're getting the number one wide receiver for $14. Now, the what you're not getting is a high floor. You're getting a large range of outcomes, right? So he does have good ceiling based on, you know, wide receiver one production. Ertz is gone. So that's, it should, you know, potentially, you know, open up some more targets, some more red zone targets, though I think Goddard's in a great spot, and we'll get to that later. But he does have a 22% target share, does have a 39% air yards share on his team. So it's all there. The matchup isn't the greatest. They've been pretty good versus opponent wide receivers. They've been kind of a run funnel, the Raiders. So, you know, that's why you kind of like Miles Sanders, I'm sure. And that does make sense. But like, So I'm saying I don't feel comfortable with it, but there's a lot of good and a lot of unknowns here with him. But another guy I got is Brandon Cooks. I mean, this 13 targets last week, awful offense, game that they're going to lose, but should still get fed, right? So that's all there is to that one. Those are kind of my three value plays I wrote down.
Okay. Yeah. So Devonta Smith, I got Jacoby Myers. I got, of course, every week. I'm also copy and pasting Robbie Anderson every week. It's pretty remarkable that he had 11 yards on 11 targets last week and saved his day with a touchdown. If they're going to continue to feed him the ball, eventually, I keep saying eventually, he eventually will have a great game. And again, he's still too cheap for the volume, so I'm going to continue to play him. Calvin Ridley is a little bit too cheap, given his role when returning in a game that we like. AJ Brown in a huge game environment. We got to see if the Chipotle is okay with him.
I didn't even check. Ridley, sorry to interrupt you. Ridley's no price 23. Man, that I want to play Ridley bad.
There you go. So, if you want to pay down on Ryan, you can play Ridley, or just play Ridley by himself. $23 is really good for his role.
I remember the days when I would eat Chipotle all the time too. I mean, it was crazy that he said everything's just going right through him. His body's just rejecting food.
Exactly what you want to hear from your receiver.
What'd you say you saw an interview? What did he say in the interview?
Yeah, he said today after practice that they were interviewing him, and he said Chipotle was offering him like a lifetime supply of whatever. And he was like, that's cool, but like, that doesn't mean I'm going to eat anything that they give me now. <It's> Can't unreal. Blame him. But yeah, so AJ Brown in a game, assuming he's okay, that they should throw the ball a little more. Jameson Crowder is a little cheap. Christian Kirk, if you like that game environment. Again, lots of question marks down there. But I agree with you. I think Jacoby Myers is by far the best value.
Yeah, Corey Davis, I could see maybe Waddle, at least definitely for a bring back in the Atlanta game, because I mean, who are you going to bring back on the Dolphins? And I think I overlooked Tyler Boyd. I usually mention Tyler Boyd in matchups where it's, you know, and he's been terrible the last 2 weeks. I don't think I mentioned him the last 2 weeks. I hope I didn't, but he does. I think I mentioned him against Pitt when he had the matchup, and he does have the matchup this week with the Ravens. The slot receivers have been doing much better. So he is talented. I believe in the talent. This is a three horses as their receivers. So you never, you know, Jamar Chase, Higgins and Boyd. So there's always that, you always have to worry about the other guy stealing from you. But I think this week Boyd could get him. He's only $14. So definitely for the baller for sure. But
that's pretty affordable.
I could see myself getting on him like as like a main play, but it's really thin. I probably won't, but I could like see myself convincing myself to play him.
For sure. And real quick, you and I were talking before the show, and I think this is probably one of the biggest questions, you know, at the position is, if you go to the top of the range, right? Cooper Kupp, Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, who do you prefer? Can you fit one? Who do you fit? What are you thinking?
Yeah, so these are the plays. So if I'm playing Mahomes, it's because I'm probably going to want Tyreek, but there is the question mark with, you know, with his health. Let me pull up some practice or see what they're saying. He doesn't have his quad, he's still been sidelined. He was sidelined yesterday for Thursday practice, same thing as was last week. He did see less snaps and less snaps at least from last week because of the quad injury, only 47 snaps. So that's a little bit of a concern. However, if I want to get to Mahomes, if I convince myself on attacking this horrendous Titans defense, Tyreek's the guy I want. I don't, man, I love them all. All three of them are great. Davante Adams, 35, right? Washington, he's $35. I like him this week. I got off him last week, but Washington 28th in DVOA versus the pass, 32nd DVP versus the wide receiver. He's got the most receiving yards. He's tied for first in receptions. He's second in targets. He's second in air yards. What is he missing? He's first in target share with 35.5% target share, which is just insane. What is he missing? He's only got two TDs on the season. That's gonna, we know he's gonna have these games where he's gonna put up three TDs in a game and break the slate. That's coming, and Washington is a matchup where he certainly could do that. So I love him this week. And then Cooper Kupp, on pace for 1,850 receiving yards, 1,850 yards, and 20 touchdowns. This dude is on pace for like just an instant, the best, the greatest, like just, yeah, the man, right? He's got a great matchup. It's a matchup versus AJ Parker, and he's a top three matchup that I looked up on Pro Football Focus this week. So it's like, in a game where maybe Stafford wants the narrative is there, right? If Stafford wants to crush them via the pass revenge narrative, and McVay lets him do that, and they just start throwing it, and like Kupp is just going to eat. Robert Woods is cheap. He's the cheaper way to play that for only $20. Like both of them theoretically could go off. But like Kupp has been a cheat code so far, and I haven't been playing enough of him.
Yeah, I mean, his price keeps going up, and he just keeps scoring more and more. This is the question: is like, I think it depends on who you play at quarterback this week, right? Obviously, if you play Stafford, you probably want Kupp with him. If you play Mahomes, you probably want to try to get up to Tyreek, even with the quad issue. But I do. I think Devontae is the best pure play. Like, if you take out any correlation and ignore salary, just ignore everything, I think Devontae is the best pure play, which is crazy because last year we were just, well, at least I was, complaining about how he was scoring multiple touchdowns every single game. And now the opposite is flipped this year where he's not scoring enough touchdowns. So I agree with you. I think a big game's coming. He would probably be the guy I tried to prioritize of those three. But again, I understand that it depends on your quarterback as well.
So if I do, so like I'm already thinking like, so the way to play my lineups would be like, okay, if I want to get up to Mahomes, I play Tyreek and I just YOLO it all, right? And if I'm going to play Stafford, if I convince myself to go there, I'm probably going to not play Henderson and I'm probably going to play Cooper Kupp that way. Maybe I'll play Henderson too, but I just don't like the feeling of that, of having both of them. If I want to play Devontae Adams, which I really think I do at this point, maybe I try to get myself onto one of these rushing quarterbacks, not play Rodgers. I mean, I'll play Rodgers, obviously, paired with him in the baller, but I'm talking like my main lineup. Maybe I try to go back to a Lamar when people aren't playing him. Maybe I go to Kyler. Maybe I go to Jalen Hurts, like one of those guys.
Is it crazy to play Derek Carr or Matt Ryan and then play Devontae Adams and Henry?
Derek Carr works perfectly because you can play Waller with the, you know, Waller is such a great play at tight end. So that might be the way to do it.
Interesting. And if you're listening to this, Chris and I are just figuring this out live on stream, figuring out strategy. And, you know, sometimes it takes conversations and multiple iterations to get to the lineup that you like or the strategy that you want. And, you know, hopefully we're doing a good job of explaining that here.
I mean, I'm going to use we've just talked about one of those strategies is going to be the strategy I use. I don't know which one, but those are the different strategies right there. Yep. It's going to come it will be one of those. Perfect. All right. That's wide receiver. Any other like out there plays?
Let me see. I have one more.
We got to talk about Antonio Brown is down, gone now. So yes. He had the best matchup now. So you were saying that. So he's out. He's already been ruled out. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, he just got ruled out. And I didn't think it was in question. But yeah, he's out now. So you have to think that boosts, especially Chris Godwin, but also Mike Evans a bit too. And they're both $24. So technically they're both probably pretty underpriced given their team total and the pass heavy nature of this offense. So both of those guys have to be in consideration.
Yep. Mecole Hardman is only $15.
Yep.
Got to mention him every week. All right, let's move it on over to tight end. I didn't do much research because it just looked to me like I'm going to be playing Darren Waller at $21. However, Travis Kelce gets a discount for $28. And then there's Mark, like there's the big three, right? There's Mark Andrews, Darren Waller, and Kelce. Mark Andrews is $20 this week. It's probably going to be my main lineup. Pretty sure it's going to be either Waller or Kelce. And I'm not going to like mess around from there. However, there are some value plays I do like. I did write down Robert Tonyan for $10 just because he's dirt cheap. I did write down Dallas Goedert. Ertz is gone. That, you know, the role is going to increase for sure. You know, he should be leaned on. The Raiders have been giving up a lot to opposing tight ends. It's a great spot for him. 27th in DVP versus tight ends. They are over the last 4 weeks, they've given up the most production. Over the last two games, they've given up the most production. All signs point to Goddard being a good play, you know, especially without Ertz, like I said. Cole Kmet would be like a punt, total punt, just because the Bucks, that's a spot to attack them. You know, you can't run on them. They're going to have to be passing. There's going to be opportunity there for garbage time too with him. It's not a great play I like, but I don't know. It's really, really, I'm going to be focused on Waller or Kelce.
Yeah. Like you said, we get a discount compared to what we have been paying for all these guys. Kelce, we were paying $30-something at the beginning of the year. Waller was 30s at one point. Andrews was a little bit higher, but yeah, all three guys, super cheap, 28, 21 and 20 respectively. If you play Carr, obviously the correlation is there with Waller. Kelce, $7 more you can get up to for the best volume tight end in the game. And then I 100% agree that Goddard is easily by far the best turnip play at tight end, just because he's only $3 or $4 less dollars than Waller and Andrews, but he has all these situational factors working in his favor. So he's definitely my favorite play. Main lineup, though, I think you have to go with one of the big three just because of the discount we get that we don't normally get for those guys.
Yep. That's exactly what I'm thinking. All right. Favorite stack. I have a favorite offensive stack with, I don't want to bring anyone back. So maybe you're going to give me and you can probably guess it. I think for GPP, the baller, I do like this Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley. I mean, that price on Ridley just really stands out to me.
That's what I had circled as well. I had that circled as well. That is Matt Ryan is my favorite. But
who do we bring it back with? Waddle?
Waddle, or we could, you know, Mike Gesicki's been getting a ton of volume. Yeah, obviously, Devontae Parker's been out. And Gesicki, I don't think, I mean, I guess people will play him. But again, he's only a couple more dollars cheaper than those big three we talked about. So that automatically suppresses his ownership. I think maybe he's the guy. Waddle, you can get there as well. But, you know, it's hard to argue with the upside in this game environment for Ryan Ridley. You know, the run back is tough. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I mean, he is a wide receiver playing tight end, so I like that. So, that makes more sense, actually. So, but it would be one of those guys, I think. I mean, or would one of these their running backs just going to go off and tilt me? But I have no idea.
Play roulette and figure out which one.
Yeah. That's what about you? Sorry, I stole your thunder with that same play you wrote down, but you got another one?
Yeah, I guess I'll just go to the other game that we like that should fly under the radar a little bit in that Philadelphia and Oakland game. I mean, we named like a player at every position on both sides that we like here. So I don't know which one is my favorite yet, but I think probably playing the Carr side, playing Waller. I like Bryan Edwards this week as a cheap wide receiver option, 100 yards last week, still hasn't scored a touchdown since that week one game. And then you can run it back with Devonta Smith or Miles Sanders, or if you don't play Waller, you can play Goddard. I think there's just a lot of stacking options at an affordable price. And then you could play one, two guys from those high team total, big favorites in your other spots. So I think that's the way to go. And that's probably my favorite stack this week.
Man, I mean, doing a double with Brady, Evans, and Godwin.
Oh, that's nice too.
That's pretty tempting this week.
That's pretty nice.
Now that they're out. Who do you bring it back with though?
Kmet, I guess, right? Bring it back with Kmet, or I did have A-Rob written down. I think he has a big game soon.
A-Rob or Mooney? So you bring it back with one of those guys, probably. A-Rob or Mooney?
Yeah.
All right, that's a show. Week 7 in the books. We'll be back again next week for week 8. Hope everybody's doing well and is enjoying Yahoo, even though they need to tighten up some of their interface things and things like that, right? Like, can get a little tilting. But
is there a way? I asked you this before. Is there a way to look at all of your lineups in a specific contest? Like on DraftKings, you can look at my entries.
I told you, I don't. I do not think so. I don't know. I don't know if it exists.
So yeah, get on that, please.
Yeah, we'll talk. They're pretty responsive when I do make suggestions. I definitely need to write down some and give them a list. All right. So that's a wrap. RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast presented by Yahoo week 7 over. We'll see you again next week for week 8. Thank you.